Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace, in which we stand and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. It's a beautiful passage of hope, isn't it? Are you a person of character? He mentions that perseverance brings about proven character in verse 4. Or are you just a character? If one was lacking in character, how would you go about developing it? Do you think our schools are doing a good job in the business of graduating people of strong character? We want to discuss this concept in light of what Paul has to say here. What is character? There's a famous quote by Martin Luther King, Jr. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. What is the measure of a man? I think all of us can agree that God doesn't see skin color, but man has a hard time sometimes looking past it. What counts with God is what's within. A person's strength, his backbone, his fortitude, his trustworthiness, his honesty, his integrity, his kindness. Dennis Prager said, goodness is about character. Integrity, honesty, kindness, generosity, moral courage, and the like, more than anything else, it is about how we treat other people. How do we treat others? Jesus said simply in Luke chapter 6, talking about our relationships not only with those that we are related to or friends with, but also to those who mistreat us, perhaps even our enemies, beginning with verse 27 of Luke 6. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. Then in verse 35 of Luke 6, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. It almost as if Paul was doing an expose on what Jesus just said here when he says that while we were yet ungodly, while we were helpless, in fact, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Did Christ have expectations that everyone would pay back that debt that they owed? He had hopes. He's not willing that any should perish, but he's also a realist. And he said, few there be that find the narrow gate. And yet he died for every one of us anyway. Wouldn't that be difficult to do good to those who have slapped you or stolen something of yours or been loaned an item and refused to return it? It can be tough. He was the smallest guy on the football team, and he didn't see any time on the field. And it got to him one night at the game, and he walked up to the coach, and he said, "Coach, I'm ready to play." And the coach looked down at him and said, "Yeah, but you're too little." And he responded, "I may be little, but I'm tough." As his voice quavered and cracked. He had the will, didn't he? But he didn't have the standing or the stamina. I have written out on the marquee, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Not only this, but we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Turn with me to hymn number 476. 476. Do me so, through my disappointments, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward. Each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is our relation, firm is its foundation. So on this solid rock I'll stay. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. In our own human frame of mind, it is difficult to see how we could honor what Christ is saying and love those who don't love us. But Paul has an example of that kind of faith. In fact, he uses this same word in the Greek, dokime, proven character, that we find here in verse 4 of Romans 5. He uses it in describing his son in the faith, Timothy. Turn with me, if you will, to what Paul has to say about Timothy in Philippians chapter 2. We want to emphasize verse 22, but we'll start a little bit earlier. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 19. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interest, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that's the word, dokime, which in Romans is translated proven character. Here it's proven worth. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me. There was a relationship between Paul and his son, Timothy, in the faith that was strong because Paul had confidence. We'll talk about keeping firm our confidence unto the end from Hebrews for this afternoon's lesson. But here with Timothy, he says, he is of proven worth. I don't think it's an accident that this characteristic of a faithful son is hinted at here in talking to an entire church. How is it that Timothy sees the interest of God, the interest of others, before his own? Because he is a son of faith. He's founded in Christ, standing on the rock. Three times Paul has said the word exult. We exult in our hope in verse 2. We exult in tribulations in verse 3. We exult in God, verse 11. Another way that that word can be translated, the word exult, and perhaps it is translated this way in your version, is rejoice. 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 That sounds like a song. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. We exult, we rejoice in our hope. We rejoice in our tribulations. We rejoice in our God, in anticipation of what it will be to receive reconciliation, that hope of glory. We do have a reason for living, don't we? And it's outside of ourselves. We suffer from disappointments and discouragements because we're not focused on what is above. The troubles of this earth have surrounded us, and we see the troubles of this earth as a burden. Paul says, rejoice in your tribulations, knowing that it will build within you perseverance, and perseverance will result in proven character, and proven character will result in hope, and hope does not disappoint. We can trust God, can't we, to deliver. That was our lesson last week, that he will deliver on his promise. In the example of Abraham, go back with me for just a moment to chapter 4 of Romans, beginning with verse 16. For this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And so Paul starts with that same theme in verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's our faith in Jesus that enables us to persevere, to develop the character, the backbone, the moral courage, the trustworthiness, the integrity and kindness, seeking the welfare of others before our own. And it's because his Spirit, verse 5 of Romans 5, has been poured out into our hearts. We have become children of God, identified by his Holy Spirit, receiving that seal, but also receiving that character of God, as long as we will walk in faith and by faith. So in this struggle that we have in this life, if we can have a positive attitude about our tribulations, regardless of how they come, we might ask ourselves, well then, how do they come? What determines when I suffer what I do? At what stage in life? We have seen those many years younger than us suffer much more in the way of loss of loved ones or of job or of physical ability or health. Who determines? Well, it's not about what you want, is it? It's about what you need. Am I to be the judge? Certainly not. Helen Keller said this, "Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. She might as well have said that character can only be developed in the crucible of suffering. It's like the purifying of metal in a crucible. You have to light a fire underneath it in order for the impurities to rise to the top or to be burned off and then strained away. Who decides? God decides, because He is the one who is in control. And He is the judge of us all. When Paul says we must exult in our tribulations, it simply means I trust God to be giving to me exactly what I need when I need it. And God does that. He can work all things together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Hard work is required. I like this quote from Sam Ewing. Hard work spotlights the character of people. Some turn up their sleeves, some turn up their noses, and some don't turn up at all. You can see every one of those, can't you? Some turn up their sleeves, some turn up their noses, and some don't turn up at all. What do you choose? How will you respond to that which comes your way? A Greek philosopher from nearly 500 years before Christ, Heraclitus, said this: the content of your character is your choice. Day by day, what you choose, what you think, and what you do is what you become. Each day adds to my reputation or to my resume. Day by day, what you choose, what you think, and what you do is what you become. Turn with me to hymn number 474. 474. Know me. The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. No, it's no secret. We have got example after example in the Scriptures, such as with Abraham, with Timothy, with Paul himself, of God working within those who are of the faith to accomplish His will, certainly, but also to strengthen them and to cause them to be ones who are an encouragement to others. By their faith, we are stronger if we'll but choose show up and roll up our sleeves. We may be little, but we're tough. There's one other thing I want to bring out about this passage that perhaps you caught. But this word, tribulation, was used by Christ a couple of times on the same occasion, but recorded a couple of times for us in the Gospels. In Mark chapter 13 and Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was given the question by his disciples after they had said, "Oh, look at this beautiful temple. Isn't it gorgeous?" And Jesus had responded to them in Matthew chapter 24 by saying, "There will come a time when there will not be one stone left upon another." In other words, this temple is going to be totally destroyed. Look at verse 1 of Matthew 24. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to him to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down." And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Notice that they wanted to know when the temple was going to be destroyed, but they ask it in a two-phrase question. When will those stones not be left one on top of another? And when or what will be the signs of your coming in the end of the age? That's two questions. Jesus gives two answers, but they're missed in much of modern-day theology. They're combined as one. When was the temple destroyed? Well, we know that the temple was destroyed in A.D. 70. And if you read the first part of Jesus' answer, in light of the tribulation that came upon the people in A.D. 70, as Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, look at verse 9 of Matthew 24. "Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." The tribulation is the same word that Paul uses in Romans chapter 5. We exult in our tribulations. Is how Jesus describes a time in the history of the church when they will be put to their wits' end. At the time that the temple is destroyed, many will suffer. And as we look back in history, we see it. Titus, the Roman general in A.D. 70, desecrated the temple. Jesus had said, "This is going to happen." And we know that he even said, "And you're going to see it." In Mark's account, this is from Mark chapter 13, verse 30, in reference to these events of the destruction of the temple and the persecution and the tribulation that would happen, Jesus says, and this is very important to remember, that in answering the first part of the question, the assault upon Jerusalem, the timetable for it to happen is while the people who heard Jesus say it were still alive. Verse 30, Mark 13, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." When did Jesus make that prophecy? Before his crucifixion. A.D. 33. Not quite 40 years later, it transpires. How far away from that is Paul as he writes this letter to the Romans, who are in the very heart of the government that rules the world and will destroy Jerusalem? He's only about 12 years away as he writes this letter to Rome. From the events that are going to happen during this generation, when the temple is destroyed and they suffer great persecution, it's not recorded for us in the scripture, but history tells us that when that event took place, the Jerusalem was surrounded. It appeared that the Romans were going to march in at any moment. We're not quite sure politically what happened on the battlefield, but the Romans drew back. And at that moment, the Christians fled because of Jesus' prophecy. They fled to the mountains. So that much of the ones who were slain by the Romans when they re-engaged and attacked were the Jewish people. The hundreds of thousands that were killed. The Christians had listened to Jesus and had understood that during that generation, these things would happen. But in that two-part question, the disciples also said, "And what will be the sign of your coming?" And Jesus said, "There will be no signs of my coming. It will come like a thief in the night." In fact, I don't know. The angels don't know. Only the Father knows. And that's what we wait for. There are no signs of Jesus' return. That we'll be living life just like we always do when His cloud comes down from the heavens and the trumpet blast shouts. I say all this to hone in on the fact that Paul says, "Exult in tribulations." This Roman congregation of brethren are only, at most, at the time of the writing of this letter, 12 years away from this great persecution which arises from the emperors of Rome. Puts it into the context of almost too difficult to do or to perform. There are those who roll up their sleeves. There's others who turn up their noses. And some don't turn up at all. Billy Graham had this quote: "When wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost." We as Christians must trust God, have our feet firmly planted upon the rock. And in that, not question what happens in our lives as far as whether or not we will continue to walk with Him. But whatever happens, we trust in Him so that we exult in our tribulations, because that brings about perseverance, which yields proven character, which confirms the hope that we have. We exult in that hope, in that tribulation, in our God. Wouldn't it be nice if our society understood what true character was? Godliness, faithfulness to Christ, being moral, generous, merciful, benevolent, loving the unlovely, even while we were helpless, ungodly, and sinners. Christ died for us. That's a person of worth. That's a person of character. Are you a person of character?